Isn't God good? Gosh, that's terrible. Isn't God good? How can you sing songs like that and not get excited? I agree with Alex. That will pump you up because we get to declare and sing about the grace and the glory of who God is and what he has done for us. I'm going to tell you something, church. It is unbelievable that we have any ability or opportunity to be able to come into the presence of God and sing about his goodness and to hear about his grace. That's something that we ought to get excited about every single Sunday. It is an amazing thing to be a part of the family of God. And this morning, I want us to consider that incredible reality of what we get to experience. You know, they say that kids change everything. Have you ever heard that before? They say kids change everything. And you know they're right. As a matter of fact, when you have kids, you don't get any more sleep. You don't have any more money. You lose your memory oftentimes, and there's a lot of times that you feel like you're going to lose your sanity. Can I get a witness, parents? Amen. That was pretty weak, too. I think it's one of those things that when you consider all of the things that you have to go through with parenting, one of the things is true no matter what. Even though you deal with a lot of things and a lot of difficulty and heartaches, can I tell you that it's all worth it? Can I tell you that I would not change being a father of three sons for one single thing? Matter of fact, I tell the story often of when I first saw my sons, three boys, and the experience for me for each three sons when I first saw them was almost exactly the same. There's just something amazing about seeing a new life at the very beginning. When they begin to cry and you're looking at that little child, isn't it an amazing thing to see that baby laying there? If you haven't had that experience, just wait. It's unbelievable. But I can tell you that the first time that we had our sons, each son was born in a different city. Our first son was born in Louisville, Kentucky, of all places, when I was in seminary. Yeah, first experience for this, and so we're there. Jamie and I showed at the hospital early that morning. Our parents had to travel a long, long way to get there. And so we're in the hospital, Caleb comes, and I'm going to tell you, I did something that many of you probably were like, what? Because most people don't see this in me, but Jamie looks over at me, and I have tears flowing down my face, right? I learned in that moment what it meant to have tears of joy. I've never before experienced it quite like that, but I began to weep and cry looking at this baby. And with Caden, it was the same way. With Kaysen, it was the same way. But as we're standing there for a little while with Caleb, Jamie says, hey, you ought to go get the parents. And so I walk out a grown man weeping, all right? Okay, can you imagine what my parents must have thought, what Jamie's parents must have thought? They see me and they stop and they say with a concerned rasper in their voice, is everything okay? Is Jamie all right? Is the baby okay? And I said, yes, he's great. It's beautiful. It's a boy, you know, and so I'm just crying because I'm so excited about all that's taking place. One of the things that I learned in that moment was this. At that moment, I had a legacy. I physically had a legacy that would outlive me. I physically had a legacy that would carry on the name Finley. But you know what else I learned? In that moment, I had better make sure that I take up the responsibility of leaving a legacy that this young man and these other young men could follow. I better be ready to have a legacy that they can follow that leads them to Christ. That's what I learned in that moment. Can I tell you that we've been looking at this idea of big church, big C, little C. And one of the things that I think is so amazing that we have seen from the big C throughout all of history is this amazing thing, that the big C has left us a legacy. The big C has left us a legacy, and I believe Jude puts it probably the best out of the New Testament authors. He says this in Jude 1:3, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Listen, the big church throughout all history, throughout all of millennia has left for us this idea of contending for the faith, fighting for the faith. And because they were faithful to fight for the faith, you and I are sitting here today as the little C talking about the faith we are able to have in the Almighty God. And we as well have been passed on this legacy so that we might again pass on the legacy of living out this faith, of fighting for this faith, of contending for this faith. But the question comes at this point, how in the world am I supposed to do that? That's a great question. If you've got your copy of the scripture, I would like for you to open up to Psalm 127. As Bill said, we're going to have a movie this Wednesday night entitled Like Arrows. The text we're going to read this morning uses that idea and that mentality. Actually, the movie came from this text. And so let's take a look at Psalm 127, starting in verse 1. It says this: Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with the enemies in the gate. Listen, we have the ability as a church to leave a legacy, but can I tell you as well, we as individuals have better be seeking to learn how we can leave a legacy to people around us, whether family members, whether children, whether aunts and uncles, whether parents. We had better be ready in everything that we do to leave a legacy in our lives so that we can point people to Christ. This is the legacy we have. There's three different things I want us to consider today of how we can leave a legacy looking at this text. First thing is this: relying on God, rejoicing in God's gifts, and having life of preparation. That's what we're going to consider today as we think about this text. But the first point is this: the legacy of relying on God. The legacy of relying on God. What an amazing group of songs that we just sang. They fit perfectly within this. Alex, what a great job. You had no idea what we were going to be talking about today, and this fits perfectly in what we're going to be talking about. I rely on you. We just sang about this song, I rely on you. Can I tell you, that is the legacy that we have got to learn to have within our lives, that in all things, we rely on God. A legacy requires a foundation, and the firm foundation can only come through God alone. The psalmist is making the point that God is sovereign of all things, and you better learn to rely on him above anything and everything. No matter what you think you can do, only God can truly do it in your life. And so when we look at this idea of laying a foundation, it comes through God. The greatest legacy that you can leave is a life that displays a reliance upon God. I'm going to say that again. I want to make sure you all hear this. The greatest legacy that you could ever hope to leave is your personal life being displayed, relying upon God. In every aspect, everything that we do, that we're relying on God. Reliance ultimately is the admission that I can't do it on my own. We don't like that idea, do we? We're Americans after all. We do things because we can do it. But when it comes to living out this life of following after Christ, you can't do it. Not on your own. You have to rely upon God. You have to put yourself into his hands in order to follow after what he might have you to do. But at the heart of the gospel itself, when we think about the gospel message and how you came to faith in Christ, at the heart of the gospel is the confession that I can't do it, but he can. Right? In order for you to become a believer in Jesus Christ, you have to come to that realization that I can't get to God, but he can get me to himself through Jesus Christ. It is relying on his work and what he did on the cross, not what you can do for yourself. That's what the gospel message is all about. But why is it, and this typically happens in somebody's life at some point or another, why is it that we would say, I'm going to get to Jesus, or I'm going to get to the Father by what Jesus did, but then you stay there, I'm going to do it all now on my own? That's crazy. Really, the idea of the gospel is not just getting to God, but it's living with God every day. It's all about reliance. If we're going to have a legacy to leave, the first thing we've got to realize, it has to be a legacy based upon what we do to rely upon Jesus Christ. This is the point of the psalmist is making in verses 1 and 2. Rely fully on the sovereign Lord for your life. That's what he's saying in verses 1 and 2. Rely on the sovereignty of God. Give everything you are to him so that he might give you a transformed life in all things. The reality is a house that stands forever is the house that God builds, not the house that you build. When we lived in Broken Arrow, we had the opportunity to build our own house. Okay, we were excited. We went to visit all these different builders. We found the floor plan we liked. within budget. And we were super excited. We signed on the dotted line. They were going to build the house. We drove by that lot like every other day. Are they doing anything? Are they doing anything? Are they doing anything? All the time we were looking and looking and looking. And then one day, after they had set up the forms and laid the rebar for that post-tension slab, one day, concrete trucks came. You know how excited we were? Oh, man, they're going to start the house today. I can't believe it. We were so excited. They poured that concrete down on that foundation. They laid it out. They smoothed it out. Matter of fact, as soon as it was dry, guess what we were doing? We were walking across our foundation. Our house is going to be here. This is going to be your house. Now, let me ask you a question. If I were to show up when those forms were already made with a wheelbarrow and a bunch of bags of Quikrete, how much success do you think I would have had? Oh, I gotta mix up one bag, now pour it in. Oh, dang, it's already dried. I better hurry, right? Can you imagine trying to lay your own foundation by yourself? Listen, the point is that in our life, if we're gonna have a life that is firm and solid, that lasts for all eternity, it has to be the house that God builds. It has to be the foundation that God lays, and we have to trust Him and have reliance upon Him in all things, knowing that He is the one that is going to enable us and empower us to have a life that lasts. You realize that Jesus even talked about this reality of trusting Him, depending upon Him. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus Himself says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." You understand that if we're going to have any hope to have a solid foundation in this world of chaos, it comes through saying, I rely on you, Jesus. I can't do it myself. And that's not a one-time thing. You understand? That's, I rely on you, Jesus, today. Now I go to bed and the next day I'll wake up. Jesus, I'm going to rely on you that day. Every single day, it's a matter of relying on Jesus. That's the gospel. Trusting Him in all things. But not only is a legacy one that God builds, but a legacy is one that must be guarded. A legacy must be guarded, right? We begin to build this legacy by relying on God, and then all kinds of things will come to try to attack it in so many different ways. As a matter of fact, I would say that now we are under more attack probably with the ideas that are floating around in culture. And Christian, hear me on this, please. If you are not careful, you can allow the world's ideas to seep into your mind that are not biblical. Which is why we must rely on God and trust His word and fill our mind with His word so that we can see when things and ideas and concepts are not of God. We've got to make sure that we are guarding our legacy. Right? A watchman, he was somebody that would stand guard over a city wall, or he would stand guard over a vineyard. He would watch and make sure there was no thieves that would come in to destroy or no army that would come against. He would watch in every way that he could to try to make sure to protect what was valuable. Now, there's nothing more that a parent wants to do than protect their child, right? That's where we hear this term, mama bear. Okay, any mama bears in the room? Okay, don't you mess with my kid, right? Or helicopter parent, right? Epidemic at this point, helicopter parent. One of those things that's so incredible that when you become a parent, it's like, oh, okay, I got to protect this kid. Got to protect this kid. Oh, let's wrap him with bubble wrap. All right, so no matter where they go, they're going to be all right. Oh, they've fallen, that's okay, they got the bubble wrap on, right? We want to protect our children at all costs. We want to do everything in our power in order to protect our kids, right? We need to see that in order for us to be able to have a legacy that's protected, we need to trust God in all things. The psalmist's point is that you can't watch everything, although we want to, right? As parents, we want to be there. You remember the first time that you sent your kid off to elementary school? Okay, pre-K. You remember that, parents? All right, I want to watch over my kid, protect my kid. And then we send them off to pre-K. We're like, oh, I don't know what to do because I'm not there. I'm scared to death. How many moms cried at that moment? All right, this is not a good thing. I hear it happens when you send them off to college too. All right, but it's one of those that you want to protect them at all costs and do everything that you can, but then you have to send them off to school, and it's like, I don't have any ability to protect them anymore. The psalmist's point was, when you can't protect them, God can. Okay, you can't guard anything, but God can. That's the reality. Listen, you can try all that you're doing in order to protect your child. You can try all that you're doing in order to protect whatever it is, but ultimately, you can't do it. God can. So trust Him. Rely on him. Make sure that you're putting everything in his hands because he is big enough to do it. You may be limited in your power, but let me tell you something, church, God's not. Isn't that great news? God is not limited in his power. God has the ability to overcome anything and everything and protect things that you cannot protect. We must be careful to watch over our legacy, but when we rely on God, he as well is watching over our legacy and helping us in order to do that. Legacy is relying on God through everyday life, right? Having a legacy that will be worth passing down is to learn to rely on God and not just the big things, but in every single aspect of your life. The psalmist says, it's in vain to rise up early and to go to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives rest to his beloved, right? We can do all of these things. We can run to work, go do the chores, go do all of this stuff, and we can get busy being busy, right? But we need to learn that we must rely on him in every aspect, every single point of our life. And I would ask this question, what are you living your life for? Is it all the stuff of the world? Is it being busy with your job? Is it hobbies? Is it habits? What are you living your life for? We need to realize that there are so many things that we can live for that are not for God. The things of this world won't last. We need to live for the things of God. You see, if you want to leave someone a legacy, it will come through your example of faithfulness in an everyday life. That's the legacy that we want to leave behind. When somebody looks at us, it's not a one-and-done faith. It's a, oh, that person's serious about their faith. That person fights for their faith. That person lives in order to show up in their faith every single day of their life. They're going to do all that they can in order that their faith is made evident by their actions, by their speech, by their thinking, and everything. We've got to make sure that our lives are everyday lives that are lived out in faith. Do people in your life see you depending on God as a normal part of your life? Or is Christianity just a hobby? I think that's a serious question that we ought to stop and ask ourselves. Is Christianity just a hobby in your life? Is it just a Sunday thing? Or is it an everyday thing? Is it, no, my life belongs to Jesus. So when I go to work, I'm Jesus. When I go to play with friends, I'm Jesus. Okay, I'm his and his life is mine. Is Jesus building your life or are you? Are you living in everyday faith? Are you living a life that would be able to pursue Jesus in all things in every way? The second point I want you to see is this, the legacy of rejoicing in God's gift. The legacy of rejoicing in God's gift. The psalmist says this, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. A heritage. You know, this word heritage stresses the idea of an unearned gift. That's what the idea of heritage is. It stresses this idea of an unearned gift. God blesses us with this heritage of children. A heritage that you can have something that will last beyond you. It is a gift that goes far beyond anything that we can conjure up on our own. The point of the psalmist is that God gives things by his grace. That he gives what we don't even deserve. Because of this, our response should be one of gratitude and rejoicing. Not just with the children he gives us, but with everything. We ought to live with this idea of, man, God, you're good. God, you're good to give me that. You're good to give me this. God, I can't believe that you would offer to me all of these amazing things that I have had the ability to be blessed by. God, it's only by your hand that I can experience this goodness. Matter of fact, James speaks to this. James says this, every good gift and every perfect gift is coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Do you thank God for the things that come about in your life? Not just the big things. Right? Well, we think about the big things. Oh, God, I prayed for this for 5 years, and you've given it to me. Thank you, Lord. What about for the breath that you get to breathe? What about all the things that we take for granted so many of the time of our life? Do we take for granted these things and not give him the glory, not give him the praise and the gratitude? We ought to look at all that we have and think, this is because of God. So a heritage is about receiving a gift. Heritage is about receiving a gift with gratitude and joy, but heritage is also about leaving behind something that we have been given to someone else. Right? Leaving a legacy, in a way, is leaving a part of you behind. Have you thought about that before? Leaving a legacy is basically leaving a part of you behind that is carried on beyond your lifetime. The question should be asked when people remember you, what will they think about? Like, I don't want to think about that. Don't bring that in my mind. No, seriously. Whenever you are remembered, what do people think about? Do they think, man, that person was awfully grumpy? Man, that person was always so stinking negative. I wanted to get out of the room as quick as I could. Well, that person was happy. I mean, they had a smile on their face. That person was this, that person was that. But the question is, will you have a legacy that somebody will say, I now have just a small glimpse of what Jesus must have been like because I was around that person? That's the kind of legacy that I want to live. As a matter of fact, I've got a friend in New York City. We went to serve alongside him. His name's Greg Gober. Listen, every time that I'm around Greg, you know what I tell people? That guy makes me want to be more like Jesus. Just by being around him, seeing his heart, seeing his passion for Jesus, seeing how he tries to reach out to a community around him, I'm around him and I have a spark within me that says, I want to be more like Jesus because I've been around that guy. Is that your legacy? Or is it, man, if that's what Christianity's like, I don't know if I want it. That's a hard question to ask, but we need to ask that question because that is the legacy. Children being a heritage means that God is giving us the gift of shaping the next generation, of investing in lives. You know, children are such an amazing thing because we leave behind something of ourselves. Sometimes we have children that look like us and unfortunately, at times act like us in bad ways. And so we have children that can carry on a legacy. Sometimes it's going to be a legacy of, yeah, I learned this from my mom about how to follow Jesus. Martin Luther, as I think about it, I believe that it was Martin Luther that he came to a point where he remembered all of the hymns that his mother would sing. It may have been not been Martin, but there was a founder of our faith that talked about, I learned about Jesus from my mom. Will that be you? How about you, dads? Are you going to be at a place in your life that your kids will look back and say, I learned how to follow Jesus because I saw my dad doing all of these amazing things to pursue Christ in so many amazing ways? But not only do we see that we have this amazing heritage that we can leave with children, but this legacy that we can give them, it comes through preparation. We have a legacy of preparation. We have a legacy that we're going to do all that we can to make sure we lay out before them how to follow after Jesus because we've prepared not only ourselves, but them as well. You look at the text here and it says in verse 4, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. Like arrows. That's the name of the movie that's going to be here Wednesday night, like arrows. When you think about like arrows, when you think about this idea, arrows were weapons to do two things. One, to defend somebody, or to defeat an enemy. To defend something or to defeat an enemy. That's what arrows were all about. They are a lethal weapon when shaped correctly and used accurately. When we think about arrows and we think about our children being arrows, we have the responsibility to prepare them in order to fly straight, in order to hit the target, in order that they might be useful in the midst of a cultural battle to show people Jesus, to live out a life that would display clearly who Jesus is and how we can affect everything around us. The point is, you have the ability to help shape children to be useful in the hands of the Almighty Father and the King of Kings in order to impact the world and the culture around us for the name of Christ. Now, let me stop here for a moment and remind you all, culture does not want us talking about Christ. And can I tell you that culture is doing everything that they can to shape children, our children, to think like them. You guys hear me? You ought to be ready to fight at this moment. The world is trying to jump into our kids' life at the youngest ages in elementary school and say, you ought to think this way. You ought to consider this as truth. We as believers need to recognize that to the point where we say, not my kids. And we begin to shape our children with the truth of Scripture so that they fly straight. Listen, we've got a lot of crooked arrows in this world because the culture is shaping our children rather than the church and the families of the church shaping our children. If we're going to leave a legacy, it's the preparation of helping our children see truth and have the ability to understand truth so that they fly straight. We've got to be intentional in this process. You do this by modeling a life of preparedness yourself. Oh, now we're getting down to the brass tacks here. You mean I have to do the things in life to follow after Christ? Yes. Point one, rely on Jesus. And that is what gives you the ability to help others learn to rely upon Jesus. Right? We must live a life of preparedness in our lives if our kids are going to see the proper example. You do this by your kids seeing you live out your faith before them. Matter of fact, there was a book written years ago. This man worked at the Georgia Baptist Convention, and he wrote a book entitled Why They Stay. Okay, Why They Stay. Not Why They Stray, but Why They Stay. And you know what he came to found out in his research? That a child, now first of all, you know that teenagers are leaving the church in droves, and most of them aren't coming back. Okay, you realize that, right? So he looked into this and the research, and he started to find out a child stays in church and plugs into church when they, check this out, see their parents have a real faith. When they watch their parents singing in church, now that's not fair, right? Okay, I don't like to sing. Well, God still deserves it even if you don't like to sing. When our kids see us singing in church, when our kids see us taking notes in church, when our kids see us serving in church, when our kids see us at home waking up early and opening the Bible and praying and doing all of these things, you know what this man, Steve Parr, said? Those kids stay in church. Why? Because they realize that the faith of the parents was not a futile thing. The faith of the parents was a transformative thing that changed their life. And the kids said, I want something like that. I want a faith that's real. I want a faith that stays. I want a faith that gives me a foundation that overwhelms their life in such a way that they are strong to the end. I want a faith like that. That's what kids come to find out. They stay because they see that their parents' faith is real. It's authentic. It's alive. So you better be working to prepare your own life so that you can teach your child to have a prepared life. When you have a prepared life, guess what happens? Other friends that see you have a prepared life. It's a spark in them to pursue you. These kids will not stay in church. They don't just merely stay in church, okay? Their parents' faith becomes their own faith. That's what happens when a child sees a real faith. Their faith becomes real in themselves. They contend for the faith themselves. They begin to serve and worship and read and pray. And then what happens is a legacy goes from a parent to a child, and then from that child to a grandchild, and from a grandchild to a great-great-grandchild. Why? Because the parent said, I'm going to make sure my faith is real. I'm going to rely on Jesus in every aspect of my life, every possible way that I can. Leaving a legacy of relying on God passes on the mentality of relying on God. When your child sees you relying on God, guess what happens? They learn to rely on God. If they see a parent that doesn't have anything to do with Jesus outside of Sunday, guess what? They're not coming back to church. Whenever we have a faith that is real, an authentic Christian life has the power to pass on to the next generation an authentic Christian life. It's contagious. There's a story of a man who, his name was Joe, and this happened a long time ago, but they had a place that was basically a house to help care for those people that were homeless, who were dealing with everything in their life that they just couldn't take care of themselves. They had, most of them were probably drunks on the street and just needed a meal or a place to sleep. And so there was a young man named Joe, or I don't know what his age was, but he was one of those people that had a reputation of just a horrible wino that couldn't do anything but drink. And most people that saw him said, there's no hope. There's no hope for this man. Okay, nothing's going to happen that's going to change his life, but something did. This man went to a service, a chapel service at this place, and he came to hear the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel of Christ, and he placed his faith in Jesus. to the point where he was radically changed. He didn't get a little bit saved. He got a lot saved, like we have said before. It's one of those where he was so excited about his faith that his whole life was transformed to the point where he began to serve at the mission at every moment. He would show up in the morning. Hey, what can I do? I'll help. He would cook. He would clean. Matter of fact, no task was too low for Joe. To the point where if there was somebody that had vomited somewhere in the mission, he'd clean it up. In the bathrooms that were just horribly nasty, he'd go and he'd scrub toilets. People that didn't have the strength to feed themselves, he would go and he would literally feed them spoon by spoon. He would sit there in the evenings when guys were so out of it because they had been drinking, he would help them get into a bed and take care of them. To the point one night there was a chapel service and the guy that ran the mission was giving the gospel. And he looked around and every man's head was just somber and just kind of slunk over. But there was one man that was looking at this man giving the chapel service the entire time, and he began to come forward at the altar call. And he knelt down and he had tears in his eyes and he said, God, please change me. Oh, God, make me like Joe. Oh, God, make me like Joe. God, would you please make me like Joe? The man who was running the mission leaned down and he said, don't you mean make me like Jesus? This man looks up and he says, is he like Joe? Guys, can I tell you that that man named Joe left a legacy that looked like Jesus? Can I also tell you that we, as believers in Christ, we don't only have the responsibility, but we have the privilege. In order to represent Jesus right here on this earth, don't waste it. Don't waste the opportunity to leave a legacy that people would be able to say, I want to know Jesus because I knew you. That's the kind of legacy that we have. That's the kind of legacy we can leave.